God bless you. Have a good day. What's that?
Can I trouble you for a Bible?
No trouble at all.
How are you doing today?
What's that?
How are you doing
today? I'm doing well. How are you?
Thank you very much.
I'm Tony.
Jake, nice to meet
Jake,
you.
Jake, good to meet you. Yeah. Good to meet you.
Are you down there on the corner sometimes too?
Over by Whitey's?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Sometimes.
Yeah. I've seen you plenty of times. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have any particular spiritual beliefs, Jake? Or?
I was raised a Lutheran, but yeah? I'm not really close.
Yeah. So what prompted you to stop for a Bible today? What? Anything in particular?
I've been meaning to just read it more, you know?
Yeah.
For a long time. I've read it here and there, but... yeah, and actually, it's funny that because I think I was at a bookstore somewhere a couple days ago, and they had, I think they're offering free Bibles too.
Oh yeah, really?
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't pick one up, but I saw this and I was like, you know, grab one, you know? Yeah. So
you have a minute or two?
Sure.
Okay.
They do have to get back and work eventually, but
I'm only gonna take the time you give me. So when you gotta bug out, you go. Okay. No offense, nothing.
Yeah, it's all good.
So. What do you think, if you were to die today, don't want that, but if you were to die today, what would happen to Jake, as far as you're concerned? Not what you hope or wish, but what in your mind you believe will happen next for you?
That's a good question, man. I don't know.
That's a good answer, too. Yeah. That's a reasonable answer.
I'm hoping something.
Yeah.
Kind of always been under the impression that I don't know. You know, okay. I really don't. I think that a large part of me, I'm not going to say I'm not an atheist by any means, but...
Most of them don't pick those up.
Yeah. But there is a strong... I do tend to rely a lot on, you know, science and stuff like that. I'm not... I also believe having faith in something. You know, I believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to lean more on... science and stuff like that. So the reason I say that is I'm assuming when I die that I'm going to die and, you know, that's going to be that.
But yet you pick up a Bible.
Yeah.
So, again, that's not a judgment.
I hope that there's something else. I'm just saying. And honestly, I'm thinking maybe, I guess I don't have any anything to base this on. I guess it's just kind of what I hope, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe reincarnation, something like that.
Okay.
Part of me, I mean, not that I would, because I can't remember past lives right now, so it's, even if there was reincarnation, it's not like you would know it, you know?
Yeah.
But, so I guess, to answer your question, I don't know, I guess probably just be like going to sleep, I think would happen.
Yeah.
Spiritually, I'm hoping maybe there maybe be some kind of reincarnation.
Okay.
Even living past lives, that,
So, Jake, what do you think's more important, what we believe, or whether or not what we believe is true? What we believe...
Honestly, I think it...
Or what we believe is true.
Kind of the same thing.
Because you walked up, and obviously you have about the same melanin count I do. We're both white guys, right? Yeah. How old are you?
28.
28, okay. I'm 57. So you walk up here, and you're Jake, the young man who looks similar to me, right?
Right.
But I believe with all my heart that you're a 6'3" African-American pro basketball player. Woman. Female basketball player. I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
Would it ever be true?
Yeah. No,
right? Now, after believing that nonsense about you, something that's not true, being nonsense, I decide to run to my bank before it closes to withdraw $1 million out of my savings account. And I fill out the slip for $1 million, walk up to the teller. She sees me a lot. She knows me. Mr. Miano, how are you today? Great. I'd like to withdraw $1 million from my savings. She does this, but she runs the numbers. Maybe something happened. Maybe I got an inheritance or something. And she looks at the computer, looks at me, looks at the computer. Mr. Miano, our records show that you have $3,850 in your savings account. Mm-hmm. I can't give you $1 million today. Yeah, but you don't understand. I believe I have $1 million.
Yeah. So back to your question. What was it again? What do I think is more important?
What we believe or whether or not what we believe is true. It doesn't matter what I believe about my bank account. What matters is what's true about it.
I mean, I think it depends on the situation, but I have to say overall probably what we believe.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you might tell somebody, And I mean, I think there are two ends of it. I think both of them could be true. But I say that because I think, and this is just the way I'm thinking of it right now, maybe in somebody's last hours or something like that, they're really going to, I mean, maybe some people have, you know, last minute changes where they, you know, believe something different on their deathbed or something like that. But I think even if you're told your whole life that there's a heaven or there's a hell, and you're told it to be true, and you're believing it's true, but when you're dying, you feel in your gut that there's nothing, and there's no afterlife, or there's nothing like that, I think that's going to matter to more you at that moment in time.
Well, certainly, it might matter more to you. It might bring you a certain level of comfort at that moment, right? For hundreds of years, they believed that the world was flat.
Yeah.
Was it ever flat?
Well, it still is.
But was
I wanted to play that a little more to see what you do.
But was it ever flat? No. So it doesn't matter what people believe for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Going to their deathbed, fighting for this belief that the world is flat, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What mattered was what is true. So I know you're short on time, so I want to assert a couple of things to you.
Yeah.
First, assuring you that I'm no mind reader, right? I don't read tea leaves. I don't hear voices. I know as much about
you.
You
actually seem pretty damn educated just talking to you.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is what's true. I got a high school diploma, and I've been reading the Bible for 35 years. So that I'm nobody from nowhere. Okay. So be that as it may, though, I would assert, knowing you for 10 minutes, certain facts about you. Because my authority isn't what I'm determining in my own mind, what I believe about you. The authority on which I stand is an authority outside of myself. It's the Word of God. Word of God says that you're not an atheist. Word of God would assert that you're not even an agnostic. That you and me and every human being on the planet knows that God exists.
Agnostic believe in all religions?
No, agnostic is uncertainty.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay. Whereas atheism, theos, God.
I'd say probably more agnostic, I guess.
Right, okay. But I would assert to you that, and again, I don't know your mind or your heart, but you do know that God exists.
Yeah.
The same way I do. You can look at creation. You know that building over there didn't happen over billions of years.
Yeah.
What kind of car do you drive?
A Solara,
okay. So you put a pile of rusty metal in your garage and you close the door for 4 or 5 years hoping that a Solara is going to come out in the end.
Yeah.
That you would think that's ridiculous, right? Of course. If you were a painter and you're displaying down at the Figgy and I'm coming in to see the show and I look at one of your best works of art and people are saying, wow, this young man is such a fantastic artist. And I said, what young man? That happened over time and chance.
Yeah.
Over millions of years, I'm guessing. Paint and canvas and brushes and brush strokes all came together to form this image. There's no painter.
Yeah.
I mean, people would think I'm nuts, right? But so that we don't have to submit to the authority of the God we know, people will say, yeah, I'm just not certain. Yeah, I think something exploded out of nothing and became everything. The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Right? We've never seen an explosion create anything other than chaos and destruction, right? A suicide bomber in a bus in Israel or a pizza parlor, nothing's created out of that, only destruction.
Yeah.
Right? The A-bomb, nothing's created out of that, only destruction.
Yeah.
But yet we'll believe that nothing, which is nothing, somehow exploded and became everything. And the reason we do that isn't because we're not intellectual. It's not because we don't know 2 + 2 = 4. It's not because we're not smart people or educated people. There are people vastly more educated than me that believe that something exploded out of nothing and became everything. The issue isn't one of intellect. The issue is one of the heart.
Yeah,
it's a heart issue. And because
you say that's kind of like faith. Basically, maybe.
Well,
that's what I meant when I said faith.
Right. But faith is only as reliable as the object of our faith. If you were to go through the AA program, for instance, for
I
some form of
work at a treatment facility.
Okay, so So then correct me, but it's my understanding from talking to many people over the years who've been through various...
I'm not a counselor, okay.
All right. But still, sure, you're in that environment. You talk to people who are attending meetings and what have you. Maybe you've overheard meetings. Mm-hmm. Just from... by osmosis even, just being around, right? But there is this teaching that, look, you just have to submit to some kind of higher power. And not to be sarcastic or pejorative or anything like that, but you can make that doorknob your higher power if you want.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. So that doorknob isn't going to do anything for anybody, right? But a billion people around the world will cut down a tree like that. Let's say it's much bigger. One of those big trees over there, mm-hmm. they'll take a third of it and they'll build their home. They'll take a third of it to warm their home and cook their food.
Right.
And the last third of it, they'll carve into an image and then they'll nail it to the mantle.
Do you mind if I just go lock my car up really quick? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I'm enjoying talking to you.
I'll be right here.
I don't want to be distracted.
Okay, great. I'm sorry, your first name again, forgive me.
I was gonna ask you the same thing.
Tony.
Jake,
okay.
Yeah.
So, are you from this side of the river? Are you from down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I live on Elkridge.
Okay, so the Walmart off West Kimberly?
Okay.
You familiar with Harlan's restaurant?
Yeah, okay.
We're a stone's throw west of Harlan's on Kimberly.
Okay.
We bought a property about 4 years ago. It used to be a place called Club Mocan.
Okay.
And we bought that, so.
I'm gonna put your name just so I can remember.
Sure, yeah. Oh, you know what? Here, I can do better than that. So you don't have to...
Yeah,
or am I writing it down? There you go. All right, so... So here's a couple of things, Jake, that you and I have in common. All right? You're young enough to be my son. I've got two of my three children are older than you are. One's a little younger. So we're different generations. Different backgrounds. Have you been out here all your life?
Yeah.
Spent most of my life in California.
Okay.
What do you do for a living?
I work at, are you familiar with this area?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 years worth.
For
a long time. Okay. So that's the kind of work you do. This is for where you're from. I'm a retired street cop from LA.
Yeah, my dad was a cop around here too.
Really?
Yeah.
Which department was he with?
A bunch of them, but...
Oh, yeah? Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So different generations, different backgrounds, different upbringings, but there's a couple of things you and I have in common. You and I both know that God exists. The world around us testifies to that. You can't have a creation without a creator. Okay. We know intrinsically that God exists. We look at creation, and it testifies to a creator. The other thing we have in common is that this God who created us has written his law in our heart. In spite of our differences, you and I both know it's wrong to lie. Okay? My parents could have raised me to lie. There are cultures that raise their children to steal. Grifters and, gypsies and what have you. Not all gypsies, but there are some subcultures where it is generational to lie, to grift, to steal from people.
Yeah.
Right? But no matter how we were raised, when or where, you and I both know it's wrong to lie. The reason is the God who created us isn't a liar. And he's written that law in our heart. We know it's wrong to steal. Not because we got caught, but because the God who created us isn't a thief. We know it's wrong to hate another human being for any reason. To harbor bitterness or resentment in our heart, no matter what we might do to justify it.
What about somebody like a sociopath who doesn't experience those kind of feelings?
Yeah, but Jake isn't a sociopath. So
yeah,
maybe there are exceptions, and really, even those exceptions, many of them, come as a result of sin, which is the breaking of the law. But now, granted, there are people who are born not of sound mind. They have a problem with their brain. There are people who have mental defects. Not that they're insane or strange, but mentally incapacitated to a certain extent.
Right.
Severe autism or severe Down syndrome or severe mental retardation. And so, So there certainly, there are exceptions, but even those exceptions are a product of the fall when Adam and Eve first sinned. Sin and death entered into the world. Sin and death entered into the world. That's why people die, because of the fall. But Jake and Tony don't have that issue. Jake and Tony are having an intelligent conversation. We're both of sound mind, it would seem.
Yeah.
I know you are. I just, you know.
I wonder if somebody, say they're not a Christian or they don't, you know, subscribe to these beliefs, and you say that God created us all, you know, in His image and all that stuff. Does that apply to them still, even if they don't believe?
It applies, right, because it doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is whether or not what we believe is true.
Yeah,
see,
okay.
if reality was based on our belief, then we're sovereign. We're God. Mm-hmm. We determine what reality is, but we don't. Truth is that which conforms to reality as perceived by the mind of God and expressed through His creation and the conscience that he's given us. So we know that God exists. He's written this law in our heart. We know it's wrong to lie, to steal, to take His name in vain, to hate other human beings. We know those things are wrong, not simply because of our upbringing, but because the God who created us is not a violation of His own law. His law is a reflection of His character. So, but because we were born with a sin nature, a propensity, a desire to sin, we're going to do whatever we can in our life not to conform to that law. We're going to justify our lying. If we steal, we're going to justify that. We're going to just turn on the evening news and see how the world justifies hatred these days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can justify anything in our own mind if we replace God with the man we see in the mirror. And it's much easier to replace God with the man in the mirror if we decide, well, what matters is what I believe. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe God exists. I believe in random chance. I believe in billions of years of time and purposelessness. And what we do is we make ourselves God, which is the oldest sin in the book. That's why Satan, one of the premier angels in heaven, was cast out of heaven because he aspired to be like the Most High God.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know that, but.
So our problem is that all we do is sin. Meaning that because we were born with this sin nature, everything we do is motivated by selfishness. Even our benevolence, even our kindness, even our love is motivated in, maybe not in whole, but in part on what we're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's because sin has tainted everything. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why
I would have said, I think it's human nature coming from.
Well, it is human nature.
And
yeah, but we don't live by that.
Yeah.
We don't actually live by that, because we don't like it when people steal from us. We don't like it when people lie to us.
Yeah.
But if it's survival of the fittest and human nature and every man for himself, we should have no problem with that. If morality is up to the individual, I'm going to hazard a guess, Jake, that you and I believe that what happened to, is it Brescia? Is that how they pronounce her name?
Brescia.
What happened to that young girl in every conceivable way was wrong.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, I don't even have to know you to know that we're going to agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay? But what if you and I were sitting down and I said, you know what? I think that was good. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. But I understand.
But I think that was good. You would assert that I'm wrong. If it's up to us as individuals to determine right and wrong for ourselves based on our own belief, you would have no authority to say I'm wrong. Because I could believe whatever I want. You could believe whatever you want.
Yeah.
So then we defer to society. Well, in order to keep us from doing that to every human being we meet, we have laws, we've created society so that we could live together. And then we would assert, well, it's up to society to determine what's right and wrong for society. Mm. And so then, if that's true, the United States and the rest of the world had no justification to take out Hitler. Because what that society did was legal according to that society. We would say it's horrendous, wrong, no justification for it at all. But if we appeal to society, then we have no justification to stopping them. because each society can do what it wants. We don't believe that. So that authority, that law that we're appealing to, that moral standard we're appealing to, if it doesn't come from the individual, if it doesn't come from society, it's got to come from somewhere else. And it does. It comes from the God who created us, who's perfect, who's morally perfect, who's holy, who's righteous, who's just. In him who's, there is no sin, there is no lying, there is no stealing, there is no fornication or adultery, there is no murder of heart. He's perfect, he's holy. But yet we do those things, contrary to the law that he's written on our heart. So one day, Jake, you and I are going to stand before this Creator, and we're going to give an account for the life that we've lived. And he's going to judge each of us in equity according to the same law, because he's written the same law on our hearts. If you and I were to die today, car comes barreling through the intersection, texting, and takes us both out, and we're sitting here having a nice conversation, and we're both standing before God, God's not going to say, Jake, you lied during your life. Tony, you lied during your life. But Tony, I can't stand your beard. I like Jake's. So I'm going to let Jake go to heaven, and you're going to go to hell. That would be arbitrary. He would be unjust. He would cease to be God. But because he's just, because he's holy, because he's righteous, he's going to judge us both according to the same law, a law that you and I have broken every day of our lives in thought, word, or deed. If we're honest with ourselves and about ourselves, we have lied. Maybe we have stolen. Maybe we have taken God's name in vain. Maybe we've hated another human being, not acted upon it. Maybe not even said anything out loud, but in our heart and our mind. The Word of God says whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Because murder begins in the heart with hatred, moves to the mind where it formulates a plan, and then to the hand where it might carry out the act. But the murder was concocted and completed in the heart. So if he judges us according to this law, he has to find us guilty because we've broken it. And the God who is angry with the wicked every day and will not leave the guilty unpunished has determined that eternity in hell is the just punishment for all of our sin. Now you might think, wait a minute, this guy who killed this young girl and dumped her body up here north of Eldridge, and me lying to my mom about how she looks in a dress, we're both going to hell? It's not because of the degree of the offense, but who the offense was against. So you come walking up the street, you come walking down the sidewalk for a Bible. I decide, for kicks, I'm going to punch Jake in the arm. Don't know Jake, never met Jake, I'm not even going to say hello, I'm just going to sock him in the arm. Several things could happen. You could lay me out, and it's over for me. You could rub your arm and say, you're an idiot, and walk away. You could call the police and say, that crazy guy with the cross, he's actually punching people. Right? And maybe I go to jail for a misdemeanor assault because I punched you in the arm. President Joe Biden comes walking down the sidewalk for a free Bible with his entourage. I decide I'm going to punch President Joe Biden in the arm, just for giggles. Yeah. If I survive the encounter, I'm going to prison for a long time, right? I'm not signing a ticket and going to court and picking up trash on the side of the 74. I'm going to federal prison for years. Why? Same offense. The difference is who the offense is against. God, who is infinitely holy and just, who can have no sin in his presence, is equally just sending me to hell for murder as he would be sending you to hell for a lie. Let's go to a courtroom. Have you ever been in a courtroom?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a particularly bad case. It's a death penalty case for Jake. You've admitted to the crime. We'll take all of the intangibles out. Not a crooked cop. Not a jury too dumb to get out of jury duty. Not a corrupt judge. You confess to the crime. It's not coerced. It's a day of sentencing. You've been found guilty. It's a day of sentencing. The judge says, Jake, what do you have to say for yourself? And you say, well, Your Honor, I think you're a benevolent, good, kind, and loving judge, and I think you ought to let me go. I'm really sorry. Let me first say that I'm really sorry. And I promise never to do it again. But I really think you ought to just let me go. A good judge following the law, is he going to let you go? No, of course not. If someone did something awful to someone you love, and it's a day of sentencing for them, and they ask the same question, and the judge says, sure, man, you're free to go. Good judge, bad judge. Bad judge. So the judge sentences you to death. Unlike today, where you would have the next 20 years of three hots and a cot, all the porn you could read, all the weights you could lift, and a free education on my dime, they're going to escort you immediately into the next room, they're going to strap you to a gurney, and they're going to put you to sleep like a stray dog. But before they do that, Jake, the judge who rightly sentenced you to die for your crime that you committed, he stands up from behind his bench, he takes off his robes of authority, he steps down, and he says, Jake, I've rightly sentenced you to death, and I'm going to take your place. And he walks into the next room, allows himself to be strapped to the gurney like a stray dog, and he's put to sleep for the crime you committed, and you're free to go. What would you think of the judge?
Yeah, it's pretty selfless of him.
Okay. Jake, that's a picture of what God actually did for sinners like you and me, for lawbreakers like you and me. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, without sin. He lived a perfect life from cradle to grave for some 33 years, a life you and I can't live for 33 seconds. Yet even though he wasn't guilty, even though he knew no sin, he voluntarily submits himself to a torturous, bloody death of a Roman cross to take upon himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. He's dead, he dies, he's buried. 3 days later, he forever defeats sin and death when he rose from the grave. What God commands of you, the same thing he commands of me and every other human being, is that by faith, we turn from our sin and put our trust in Christ alone for our salvation. He'll take our heart of stone that makes it okay to lie, makes it okay to steal, makes it okay to not believe in him and disobey him at every opportunity. And he'll replace that heart of stone that's at enmity with God, and he'll give you a heart of flesh. A heart that loves the things that God loves. A heart that hates the things that God hates. Not other people, but your own sin. And you'll have the assurance of forgiveness and eternal life, not as a get-out-of-hell-free card, but on the basis of God's love, grace, and mercy that would allow his only son to die for a sinner like you. And you'll have the assurance of eternal life. You'll be reconciled to the God you've spent 28 years offending by your sin. And you'll have that assurance of eternal life, not because you're good, but because of the goodness of God that would allow his son to die for sinners. Same courtroom, different person. Let's say you have a young son, 4 or 5 year old son. You decide, I'm going to take my son to court today just to show him the legal system. You're sitting in the back row, and unbeknownst to you, you find out you're sitting at a sentencing hearing on a murder trial. And the judge looks at you and says, sir, in the back there, what's your name? My name's Jake. What's your son's name? Tommy. Jake, I'll let this man go if you'll let me kill your son. You gonna do it? I wouldn't. I got 3 beautiful daughters. I would not sacrifice one of their lives to save yours. I can't love you that much. But the God who created you does. That he would allow his son to die on behalf of someone like you, someone just like me, who deserves nothing but his wrath and punishment against our sin. But yet would make a way for us to escape that through the gift of his son. That's the good news of the gospel. And Jake, it doesn't matter whether or not you believe it. It's no less true if you deny it.
Very interesting, man. I like talking to you, too. I'll be honest, I don't know if I agree with all of it, but I'm
not here to convince you.
Yeah, no, and that's...
I'm only here to share the message with you.
Yeah.
God will be the one who will convince you.
Yeah, I hope so.
If he chooses to do that. Yeah. And my hope for you, Jake, is that he will. That he'll cause you to be born again, that he will forgive your sin, and that you'll have the assurance of eternal life.
I do have to get going, so
sure.
I don't want to get you started too much, but
I appreciate your patience.
Briefly.
Yeah.
I think you touched on this at first, but I still don't quite understand it. Why do we deserve to go to hell and deserve Like when you were explaining the, you know, you lied and you're going to go to hell and this guy killed somebody, but you're both going to go to hell.
Right.
That just doesn't really seem right to me, you know?
That both would go to hell because...
Well, that, but also just the... I mean, one problem I've kind of had with Christianity, not just Christianity, but a lot of religions in general, is trying to scare people into... I don't know if I'm saying the right thing. You're not trying to scare people into doing the right thing, but like that just doesn't seem right to me that a God would send. You know, it just seems kind of cruel. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not articulating.
No. It's a question maybe you've never asked someone before, but it's a question I've been asked many times. Okay. So, for your sake of your time, I'll try to be brief. That perspective comes from a place that in yourself you think there's something good. You believe there's something good about you. Jesus said, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. God's standard of goodness is moral perfection. You and I don't measure up.
Yeah.
If you look at it through the lens of God being good,
so like
and we're not.
Our nature is to be imperfect.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, it's sinful. We are lawbreakers according to God's standard. That's why we needed a Savior. God would be just to send each and every one of us to hell for one lie because He's perfectly holy. God doesn't owe you and me anything but His wrath because all we've done is break His law.
And see, something like that, before you elaborate on it more, something like that just seems like, I wouldn't want any part of that God, you know?
Right. No, yeah, I get it. And you would... You in general, you plural, would rather be God. The problem is you're...
See, now that was interesting.
The problem is you're not.
Yeah.
Right? God doesn't submit to anybody.
Yeah.
Look, I used to build model planes when I was a kid. Built a P-51 Mustang, just airbrushed it, decaled, just... I bought that model. I built that model. I can choose... to put that model on display on a shelf or behind glass, look what I've made. I could choose to put that model on the ground, step on it, and crush it into a million pieces. Who can tell me I'm wrong? No one. That model belongs to me. You belong to God. He created you. I belong to God. He created me. So, but He's not arbitrary. We've all broken the law. We've all fallen short of the standard that He has set for mankind. So he's just to punish us. That's what makes His love and His mercy, Jake, so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I'm glad I asked you that because I understand it a little better.
See,
at least where you're coming from. Again, I don't know necessarily if I agree with it,
sure.
But I can at least understand it.
Look, my assurance of heaven, if you were to ask me, am I going to heaven? My answer is yes. And at first blush, that may sound arrogant, but I'm not going to heaven because of who I am. I'm going to heaven in spite of who I am. God's forgiven me not because I'm lovable, but because He is.
And it's I know this is a cliche that people bring up a lot, but
hi.
I think there's...
Can I get a Bible?
Yes, you can. Always a good day to give away a Bible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know,
actually, God bless
probably
you, man.
A good time to
sure.
Cut it up.
But, hey,
so
God bless you. I gave you my card.
Yep. Thank
all
you.
All right. That's $10 to Subway for lunch for giving me
you
your time.
To do that.
I'm not doing it because I have to. And that courtroom analogy we talked about.
Yeah.
I wrote a story based on that. It's a parable.
Yeah.
It's a story. So maybe that'll help work that out a little more.
Yeah.
You've got my card with all my information. All I know is you're Jake.
Yeah.
And you drive a Solaris.
Yeah.
Anytime you ever want to continue the conversation over coffee or anytime you see me, but you got my number, you got my email. If you just want to fire me a question,
absolutely.
I'll do whatever I can to encourage you.
I like the philosophical kind of talks about stuff, you know? And I like to incorporate religion in it. And I'd like to say that I'd like to find religion too, you know? So.
All right. Good to meet you, Jake. Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
God bless you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.